Divergent Group, and it's probably the best known of all five commercial entrants in the next generation suborbital marketplace. I'll let George begin in just a minute, but let me just tell you a few things about him. George is a father, he's a husband, a space visionary, and a leader in space commercialization. He was educated at Princeton and Cambridge. He's a licensed pilot. He's a zero-G flight coach, the former executive director of the National Space Society, and the former chief of staff of the NASA administrator. On leaving NASA, George took his new position as president and CEO of Virgin Galactic about a year ago. And that's not bad for a guy that got out of high school in the 90s. There's a lot more I can say about George, but I think I'd rather let him take up your time, tell you about this wonderful revolution, than tell you any more. So let me introduce George Whiteside. Come on up, George. CEO of Virgin Galactic.
Thank you. creator of time is being the sun. Then, the silent tranquility of space, you will experience weightlessness and views of our beautiful planet that will change your perception of life.
One of my passions or reason for wanting to fly in space is that it's based on what these guys that do it say, and they talk about it for the rest of their lives, about wow, that was life-changing.
The rock pole ride is a minute and a half or so, and it's exhilarating. It's like nothing else you've ever done. When that motor does shut down, you get this instant karma of weightlessness, and everything you feel in your body is the same way. It's wow.
Our first Virgin Galactic astronauts are building their own place in history as pioneers of a new space age. And for them, the journey has already started. I've had some incredible adventures in my life. Space is sure to be the greatest fun of all. I am going, and I hope you enjoy. Fundamental shift in humanity's relationship with the cosmos. And I think space tourism and
is Richard Branson. And many of you probably know Richard. He's an amazing guy. I feel very lucky to work with him. He's inspired by the idea of opening space to humanity. You know, for 50 years, we've been exploring space through our astronauts, and some of the astronaut corps, some of my closest friends, they're amazing people. But you know how many people have gone to space over the last 50 years? Order of magnitude? It's about 500 people, a little bit more. So it's averaging about 10 people a year. I think that's way too little. You know, space needs to be opened up, and that's really what motivates Richard, is that we want to open space dramatically to humankind. We think we can fly 500 people in just our first year of operation. Next guy is this guy. Does anybody know who this is? Burt Rutan. So Burt Rutan is arguably the foremost aerospace engineer of our time. He's designed hundreds of aerospace vehicles. And he's the designer of the vehicle that you see in his hand. That's a scale model, not the real thing. It's called Spaceship One. And it's an amazing vehicle. It was the first private, commercial, reusable spaceship. And so anyway, I'll talk about that in just a little bit. But so why is Virgin involved? Virgin, you know, you wouldn't think necessarily that Virgin would get involved in a spaceship company. We fly, you know, millions of people around the world and put people on trains. It's not necessarily the most obvious thing. But, you know, what happened was that a few years back, Virgin sponsored a project called Virgin Global Flyer, which some of you may recognize. This was a project to sort of basically fly around the world without landing on with only one pilot. And this guy named Steve Fawcett, unfortunately perished a few years later. But Virgin sponsored this project, and Virgin Team built this amazing vehicle. I think it got better gas mileage than an SUV. I'm not kidding. It was an amazing vehicle. It flew around the country in a single engine on a single sort of multiple tank of gas without stopping. And so when Virgin people were going to Burt Rutan's company, which is called Scale Composites, there would be sort of a back end of the hangar, and it would have some drapes up and things like that. And we'd always ask, well, what's behind the drapes? And so that's the secret part. And so eventually we heard, well, it was a spaceship that he was working on. And so a spaceship, that's pretty interesting. And it's pretty interesting because Richard had been looking for a space project for many years. He had registered the name Virgin Galactic many years before we started the company because he was looking for a way to get involved in space. The big idea that we got involved with was something called the X-Prize. Has anybody heard of the X-Prize? Yeah, this is a very big opposition. Space out in Florida, of course. Anyway, so the X-Prize, it was a competition of $10 million for the first reusable private space plane, commercial space plane. You had to fly up to space twice within, I think, 2 weeks, and basically it had to be a really complete plane. So Burt was working on this in secret, back to his factory. We were doing the global flyer project. That's Peter Diamandis, who came up with it, an amazing guy who will be remembered 10,000 years in the future as somebody who really changed the course of human history. It was modeled after something called the Arcade Project. Did anyone know the Arcade Project? So that's Charles Lindbergh. He won the Arcade Prize, and he was going after the Arcade Prize, and he flew across the planet. The idea is basically that, you know, competitions can drive amazing innovation because you're not just paying one person to do your program, you're basically putting a prize out there, and you're driving many people to compete for that. And so, you know, this was a $10 million prize, and I don't know exactly the amount of money that was invested. $10 million, that's Brian getting on top of the spaceship, the pilot, an amazing moment. You can see in the background, that's Richard Branson, Paul Allen, and Bert Buchanan. Paul Allen, of course, one of the Microsoft co-founders. So what have we been doing since 2004? We've been building a spaceship, one that you people can fly, that we all can fly. This is the picture of it. You saw it in the video. That spaceship, two in the middle, and the carrier aircraft is called White Knight 2. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the system, but the main piece is that it's sort of an expanded version of the vehicle that Bert Buchanan won the XPRIZE with in 2004. This is, I don't know if you can make it out, but this is sort of how it works. It's an airline system, so sort of like the X-15, for those of you who are familiar with that. Basically, the mothership takes the spaceship up to 50,000 feet and releases it. We used to say drops it, but we don't like that phrase. And the rocket engine fires quickly, a couple seconds after it's released, and you execute a gamma turn, pull about 3.5 Gs, you push back into your seat, and you head vertical at Mach 3.5, and you shoot up from 40,000 feet all the way up to 350,000 feet. Pretty high. Go above the Von Karman line, one of the boundaries of space. And you get about 4 minutes of microgravity, 4 minutes of weightlessness. You can unclip your seatbelt, get out of your seat, look out the windows, spin around, look down at the planet Earth, and experience being in space. And have this amazing experience that people say has changed their life. Then what happens is that the back end of the vehicle, I used to play Batman as a kid, how the shuttlecock always sort of points downward. And that's sort of the principle behind this spaceship. The wings actually fold up, not at a 90-degree angle, but sort of like that. And sort of like a shuttlecock, it means that the spaceship will come in a stable re-entry. And it was the big safety innovation that Bert Buchanan, the genius aerospace designer, came up with to solve the challenge of re-entry from space. As you know, sort of challenging and potentially dangerous thing. Anyway, once you get back into the atmosphere, the wings feather back down and you're a glider, basically an unpowered glider, and you go in for a glider landing at whatever airport or spaceport you're on. So that's the Virgin Galactic system. Next slide. And it's a really incredible system because I think that it really has the possibility to be highly reusable and to revolutionize the number of people who can go into space. And so who's going into space? Well, the answer is that we've got about 400 individuals who signed up so far. We put down deposits. So the ticket price, in case any of you want to see me after the show, is $200,000. We take deposits down to $20,000. And let me say this. We know that that's expensive. But if you look at the cost of a plane ticket across the Atlantic Ocean very early in the history of aviation, it's about $80,000 in real term dollars. And so the point is we have to start somewhere. And literally, we are at that starting point now. We've got over 400 people who said, you know what? If I don't sign up now, this is never going to happen. And so I'm going to sign up now. And I'm going to get this thing going. And I know it's going to be cheaper later, but I'm still going to sign up because I want this thing to happen so badly that I'm willing to put down the money that businesses need to justify the expense to make it happen. So we've got 400 amazing individuals. I can't comment on who signed up, but many people will have seen that Katy Perry has bought a ticket for her husband. That's not true. We had people with four, actually, I think, well, no, four artificial joints. They did fine, you know? We had this amazing, amazing woman, a Japanese lady, 88 years old, who flew. She's the peaks of Nepal. She dove down to the ocean, and she wants this to be her sort of capstone experience. She's amazing. She's this tall. She's just raring to go. She calls me all the time. When am I going? When am I going? In Japanese. I know. It's amazing. Anyway, so, but it's great. We've got a great community of people. That's Richard. He did fine. So, safety. A nation of risk takers, and I think one of the major things that we've got to talk with people about over the coming years as we launch this new industry is that, you know, in order for us to, you know, explore the country, we had to take risks, and, you know, we're going to minimize those risks, and we're going to make it as safe as possible, but, you know, if you want to be truly as safe as possible, you know, you don't leave the house, and so we are going to have to work very hard to make it as safe as we possibly can, but we also have to that this is a tough thing, this is a challenge. And if we don't sort of effectively communicate, we're concerned that, you know, we could, you know, people, you know, our society today, it's one bad thing happens and everybody sort of piles on. And I think one of the things that we need to do now is we need to communicate that this is an industry that cares deeply about safety. I mean, obviously we won't have a business if it's not safe. But, you know, it's worth the risk because it's sort of the pathway to start. So let's just talk. We've got amazing pilots, only the best.